Welcome to our ongoing series of podcasts. My name is Eric Perez, currently the CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. And this morning, our podcast guest is Mr. Richard Hamilton, who, quick biography, is the current chair of the Gold Coast Fishermen's Cooperative, based, funnily enough, on the Gold Coast. Current member of QSIA and former board member of the association. So welcome, Richard.
Yep, thanks very much, Eric.
Yeah, not a worry. Look, today the topic area is the spanner crab fishery and in conjunction with that, the quota management system that is used to manage this fishery. Can I start off by asking what's the current situation in the fishery and are there any particular issues you'd like everyone to take note of?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Well, the current major issue at the moment with the spanner crab fishery is for this season we have just started, there's been almost a 50% decrease in our quota, which has had a major effect on all operators, big and small, put a lot of financial hardship, and people don't really know if they can lease out quota or not. It's a very tough situation at the moment.
Okay, and do you have any time frame for how long that might last?
Well, this could go on for several years because the spanner crabs are the slowest growing crab we have in Australia, and for stocks to come back to a more sustainable level, it could take quite a number of years,
okay.
5, 10 years, who knows.
Okay, thanks, Richard. So there's a lot to unpack in that, but I guess the first thing to ask you is, my understanding is that the quota management system came into this fishery roughly 20 years ago, around roughly 1999, and from that point, my understanding of the stats, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, is that you, for example, started around the 20-ton mark in terms of quota. Oh, sorry, the fishery or yourself?
Just myself, that was my...
Okay, that was your allocation.
Yeah.
Okay, and that over time reduced to 14-ton, then reduced again slightly to 12-ton, and now you're in the situation of losing that 50%. You're down to 6-ton of quota, is that correct?
That's correct, Eric.
So from a business perspective, if you can talk us through that, what is that going to mean for you in the long run?
Well, 50% reduction in my quota basically means my business can only run for maybe 6 months of the year. That 12 ton plus a couple of extra ton, which I normally lease, that could carry me through for the 12 months. If I cannot lease any more quota, that means I will lose my staff. I'll employ a skipper and a deckhand. They will be no longer be able to work. Also, we supplied our seafood direct off our boat at the Gold Coast Fisherman's Co-op. We're an integral part of that as it's an experience for tourists and locals alike. It's a massive draw card for the Gold Coast. And the other uncertainty is the cost of quota now to lease has probably gone up 3 times the amount.
Right.
So it's a big burden for us to continue financially at the moment.
Wow, okay. So I guess I'm going back to the start of the podcast. You mentioned that this you took this big hit of a 50% reduction. Can you identify for those that are listening what you think are the key drivers of that? So was it the way the rules of the quota system were implemented? Was it external factors that might have come in? Is it a number of things, do you think?
Yeah, it is, Eric. I think the main factor is the spanner crab fishery is a tangle pot fishery. And when general fisheries permits were allowed to enter into the fishery around in 2006, it allowed fishermen to carry up to a maximum of 120 dillies per vessel, whereas the regulated amount is 45 dillies. And also it allowed them to bring in much larger vessels to operate three days in a row out at sea, fishing the stock consistently. And the method of fishing is a tangle method. The crabs must be untangled when they reach the surface and put back into the ocean live. With this, with the extra dillies, I believe that to get through the amount of gear, there is quite a large death rate in the return crabs back to the ocean, and that has been cited by Department of Fisheries at approximately 35% death rate, which is a very high death rate.
Yeah.
And over the years, this has increased to an extent which last year's crab season, out of the 56 vessels which caught the annual catch for the year, only 10 vessels had the regulated 45 amount of dillies. 46 vessels had cheap general fisheries permits up to 120 dillies. So there you go. It's not rocket science. The extra pressure on the fishery has a detrimental effect, and that's been allowed to go on for too long.
Okay, so were the general fisheries permit ever a part of the original inception or idea around this quota-managed fishery?
No, Eric. The legislated rules for the fishery when it was first brought in, it's 45 dillies maximum per vessel. That was the regulated fisheries quota system. There was no general fisheries permits at all in that legislation.
Oh, right, okay. So a number of different pressures there. So just to continue, and I think this will more blend in quite nicely with what you've just told our listeners here. Two questions particularly came in last night from a member who asked, since the introduction of quota for spanner crab, and in your case as a business, has the value of your business, and this question splits that up into license and quota, increase in value over that 19-20 year period?
Well, not at present, because I've lost 50% of my quota, so my business is like only can operate 6 months of the year, so the value of the business is definitely dropped. Even though the quota price has risen, it still hasn't made my business viable. Like, it's probably going to put the fishery in the hands of the larger operators that can afford to buy up the smaller operators and continue fishing.
So I was going to ask that, because one of the big issues that industry up and down the coast have shared with me is this fear of having quota barons, if for want of a better term, or people that buy up that quota, which in a free market, before you can agree, people can buy and sell if they see value in doing that. But from your fisheries perspective, do you think there's been a concentration of quota holdings, or is it across the spectrum, or is it really a few people have got the majority of the quota? I'm not sure. So do you have some idea or some knowledge of that?
Well, yes. As far as I know, Eric, I think there are about three main players that hold the bulk of the spanner crab quota in our fishery at present, and the rest have held by smaller operators.
Okay.
Operators haven't got much quota, so they've really got to lease it back off the larger operator. So they actually get tied in with him and they're restricted to what price they will receive back from their product, because the deal is if they lease it from someone, they've got to sell it back to that person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems like a significant drawback to having the quota system in place, and it flies in the face of what we've been told through the reform process that a quota managed fishery will be a boon to not just management but to commercial fishers. And if they're going to use the spanner crab fishery as an example, there seems to be a few little pitfalls there that we might want to avoid, because we'd, you know, I think you might agree, and please feel free to disagree with me, but we don't want more fishermen up and down the coast that will have to rely on quota if that's the way we go, to lose 50% of it one year to the next. Does nothing for our viability long term.
No, you're exactly right, Eric. Like, a knee-jerk reaction of 50% loss of quota is actually devastating. And over the years, we've talked with fisheries time and time again about trying to put some input controls into the fishery, but their answer is, because it's a quoted fishery, you can catch it how you like, and it's actually shown that that doesn't work. Every fishery is different, and it should be very, very closely looked into if they're going to go through the quota system, because every fishery is different.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah. So in asking that, and one thing out of curiosity, because the spanner crab fishery to me seems like a single species fishery, do you have other species that you catch as bycatch when you're out there targeting spanner crab?
Well, the spanner crab fishery is one of the most unique styles of fishing. It has no byproduct whatsoever. It's specific for only spanner crab, and the operator, once the dilly is on board the vessel, the operator untangles the crab and releases it live back into the water. So the actual method of fishing is absolutely a beautiful fishing method. It does no harm whatsoever to any species in the ocean.
Okay, sure. So that leads to the second question that was brought up, and this one is, in hindsight and definitely from your perspective, do you think quota is going to be a great saviour for industry as the fisheries managers suggest that it will be?
Well, I don't really think so, unless they put in a lot more controls than just this umbrella effect of a quota system and the fishermen can catch it how they like. It's got its downfalls, and I think they should be very careful if they go down that method, and perhaps look at other ways to reform the fisheries.
Okay, look, Richard, thanks for your time and your perspectives on this. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more discussions to be had around quota managed fisheries, and with your okay, I'd like to come back and have a discussion with another fisherman who is in a fishery that is not yet quota managed, and maybe have a bit of a discussion around those issues into the future, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine, Eric. Thanks very much for listening to me.
No worries, Richard. All right, thanks, everyone, and we will catch you again on the next podcast.